Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, are you qualified? Often we think about this question in connection to employment as we're filling out a job application. We speak of people being underqualified or overqualified for a position. How do you become qualified? When it comes to employment, education, job experience, and having a particular skill set are all part of what it means to be qualified. From these examples, we see that being qualified normally depends on something in us. Last week, many churches celebrated All Saints Day. Are you qualified to be called a saint? What would qualify you to be called a saint? If you think of a saint as a faithful Christian who has died, you might reply, "I'm not dead yet." Someone may be described as a saint if they willingly and tirelessly serve others in Jesus' name without thought of compensation. Our lesson speaks of you being qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. But notice who qualified you. This is not something you achieved yourself. It is the Father who has qualified you. Also notice that you are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. An inheritance is a free gift, not something we earn or deserve. To receive an inheritance, you are named in someone's will or are given something that is passed down from generation to generation as a family heirloom. How is it that we are saints, qualified for this inheritance, qualified for the kingdom? By the gracious working of God, we have been delivered, we have been transferred, and as a result, we are being filled. By nature, we were not only underqualified for the kingdom of God, but we were disqualified from being in the presence of God. Far from being saints, our status was by nature sinful and unclean. We lived under the dominion of darkness, that dark power which is utterly opposed to God. It ruled over us. Under this harsh oppression, our will was bound in spiritual matters, and we were living without hope. We were bound by the debt of our sin, a debt so staggering that even if we worked as hard as we could, we couldn't even pay the interest. Not only by our disobedient actions, but by our words and even our sinful thoughts of lust, envy, greed, and hatred, we were sinking deep and deeper into the debt of sin. On our own, we dared not come into the presence of God. For if God were to look at us, all he could see was the size of the debt we owed on account of sin. Seeing such sin, he'd have no choice but to give us the punishment we had earned and deserved. Spiritual, physical, and eternal death. Rather than treat us as our sins deserve, God sent his Son, who is eminently qualified to be our Savior. In the fullness of time, God sent his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased, into our world of sin and shame, to take our human nature upon himself. He lived a perfect life in humanity's place to satisfy God's law and to gain for sinners a righteousness that none of us has by nature. On Calvary's cross, he shed his blood and died to pay the penalty God's perfect justice demanded for our innumerable transgressions of his law. By raising Jesus from the dead, the Father declared that the world's sin had been paid for. We are qualified for the kingdom by Jesus' perfect record and his all-sufficient death in our place. Jesus has delivered us from the deep, dark dungeon of the devil's domain and has qualified a world of sinners for an eternal inheritance. In ancient times, peoples who were conquered by neighboring nations were often transplanted from their homeland, where they were free, to unfamiliar foreign lands, where they were slaves. For us, God has done just the opposite. God has transferred us sinners from the spiritual kingdom of darkness, ignorance, and death, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, a kingdom of wisdom, life, and light in Jesus our Savior. All this began at our baptism. Baptized into Christ, we are united with him in his death, so that we might also be united with him in his resurrection from the dead. And this is what gives us hope. For it teaches us to look beyond death to the new and everlasting life that awaits us and all who die in faith in Jesus. Baptism is for us the gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit through which we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. By baptism, our status is now that of saints, qualified for the kingdom. To declare Christians as saints is not to say that we are perfect. We are still sinners because of our continuing spiritual weakness. We are saints and sinners at the same time, but sin no longer rules over our lives. Jesus Christ does. Our text begins with a prayer that we who have been declared saints may now grow in Christ and may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This means not only just a head knowledge of the facts of the Bible and its teachings, but a clear and penetrating insight, a heart-transforming and life-renewing knowledge of God's will for us in Christ. To get to know God better, we Christians need to make constant and consistent use of the Word of God where God has spoken to us. This involves carving out time for daily personal and group Bible study and prayer and devotions, and frequently making use of opportunities to gather with other Christians to hear God's word and to receive the sacraments. Consistent use of the word prevents a dichotomized lifestyle of practicing Christianity for only an hour each Sunday or 15 minutes a day in chapel with ungodly living the rest of the week. Living a life which is worthy of the Lord has as its goal God-pleasing attitudes and actions. As we grow in knowledge of his will, this results in wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the application of knowledge as we learn properly to apply our faith in our daily lives in various situations. Understanding here means discernment, being able to judge what is true and false, right and wrong on the basis of God's word. We use this understanding to reject what is false and to cling to what is true. In this way, we become who we are, those who are called saints, declared righteous in Christ, and live our faith as we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. In Christ, we are qualified for the kingdom. While there's nothing we can do to inherit eternal life, God has in Christ done everything for us. Since God has given us this complete salvation in Christ, the only thing left for us to do is by the Holy Spirit's working through word and sacrament to live this salvation that is ours in the blood of Jesus and work and pray that all may know our God and Savior, who has done such great things for us. Amen.